Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 116 of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, CZ, and I'm joined on this wonderful St. Patty's Day by none other than Patty Friggin' B. Hello, Patty B.
Hello, Spencer. How's your, it's St. Patrick's Day.
How's your Patty's Day going?
You know, it's going all right. I had a few whiskey mules last night, mm-hmm. So we're starting a little later than... than normal today, but yeah, feeling green. Jealous of my parents. My parents are at a music conference in Chicago, and like they took some pictures.
Dive into the river?
You know, I don't think so. I wouldn't do that. But the pictures of the river look awesome. Good stuff. So like, I now have to go someday.
Well, we aren't talking about the Irish today. Instead, we are going to continue our series on The Witcher. We are talking about season 2 today. It's going to be really fun. Before we do that, though, I hope that I get this episode up in time. I'm not sure, but March Madness is upon us, Patty B. I'm repping, baby.
Yeah, it's green and gold. It's Irish colors.
I'm wearing, for those listening, my green and gold, the Ducks jersey, because my Oregon Ducks won the final ever Pac-12 championship tournament last night. They will forever be the Pac-12 basketball champions. And that brings me an amount of joy that I cannot express. It was a hard season. Four of the five starters from game one had season-ending injuries this year.
Wow.
And they had to battle through a lot of adversity. And it was so funny that I'm going to go into basketball just for a second because, you know, I personally had a really hard year last year. And kind of hearing their speeches last night about battling through a really tough year and you know, coming out on top and doing what you can and always persevering, it really spoke to me. And, you know, I think that something that I really love about the podcasts that I get to do is, you know, one of them in this one gets to be an escape, right? It gets to be this moment where maybe we escape from those hard moments and we take a moment for our personal health and to ourselves. And then, you know, I have, you know, these other podcasts that are about self-improvement and about always pushing forward. And I don't know, I'm really grateful that for this show, because it brought me a lot of joy this year. And I don't know, I would be remiss if I did not say that after listening to those speeches and crying last night. I'm also just a sucker for crying. You guys know that.
Yeah. Yeah. As we, that was last week and many times. It's okay. We love you. I just say one thing about Oregon. Like, their basketball court is one of the coolest basketball courts in the country.
Dude, it's so
with
sweet.
The like trees coming on the court in the wood, like, it's really cool. They spend a lot of money on like branding and like making
their aesthetic.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, cool to be an Oregon fan, because it's like, I was looking at their shoes yesterday and I was like, oh man, I want those shoes, and I was like, wait a second, it's a Nike school. I bet I can buy those shoes.
I can buy them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Before we get too far into that, though, if you want to join our March Madness tournament, it's usually pretty small. And, you know, it's mostly for Pride. Sometimes we give out some Magic store credit or something. We'll figure that out this year. But I hope I get the episode up. Usually it's hosted by former co-host of Common Knowledge, Jeskai Dad. And, you know, we'll see it. It'll be in the Discord. You can fill out a bracket. I always enjoy this time of year. Basketball is my favorite sport. So ton of fun to get to do this. And it'll just be in the Fantasy Sports Channel. And then don't forget that if you want to join the contest for the Nintendo Switch or Nintendo Switch 2 or whatever it is, when we hit 1,000 subs, you know, go smash that subscribe button over on YouTube. If you are one of those
first... even super smash it.
That's right, because you will also receive a copy of Super Smash Brothers as well. But that's going to do it for the housekeeping. That's going to do it for a little bit of sports talk. We're going to dive right in to the Nerd Fact of the Week, because we're playing the Oppenheimer game with Patty B. Patty B, you have no idea what's about to happen.
I don't. And I'm worried.
You know that the Oscars happened.
Yes, the Oscars perfect. Happened.
You've already halfway there. So Oppenheimer happened to win Best Picture. It's a movie that you've been gushing about. I have not seen it. It's apparently absolutely amazing. And it was the best performing movie at the Oscars from a box office perspective in a very long time. In fact, it is somewhere in the top three highest grossing films ever to win an Oscar. Patty B, can you name the top three and in what order?
Okay. Shoot. So I think number one is Titanic.
Ding, 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 ding. Patty B, one for one, baby. Can he get the clean sweep? We'll find out here. By the way, that is the oldest movie on this list.
Right. Because I know that, like, Titanic was, one of the most grossing, and it was very highly acclaimed as far as awards like the Oscar. I'm going to go with Oppenheimer 2. Oppenheimer 2.
Oppenheimer is on this list. Keep going. I'm going to tell you if you get the... I'm not going to spoil it if you got the clean sweep.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think is number three? I'll tell you what. This movie made over $1 billion at the box office, so that should help you.
So is it? It's probably Avengers Infinity War.
That did not win Best Picture. That is one.
Oh, strike. It didn't win Best Picture? Oh, okay. So I know it was up there with like the highest, like also highest grossing, right? Is one of those caveats. Best Picture. I don't know. I failed.
Oh man, we're getting the tap out. So number two was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so shocked you did not get that one.
I forgot.
And then Oppenheimer comes in at number three, just under $1 billion. If it had crossed that $1 billion mark, it would have been one of only three films to make $1 billion and win an Oscar. And win Best Picture, I should say.
Huh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you think that would happen more often with, like, the ones that make just a boatload buckets of money.
Yeah, those are the top three all-time grossing films to win Best Picture. And it's crazy that all three of them happened in our lifetime. I mean, yeah. most of these don't get close, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Like you've got movies in here that, like, that don't make their money back. That win Best Picture.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe that's part of that is possibly like, I don't know if it adjusts for like inflation, but like the population grows the more and like our technology gets better, like everything gets better. So like that makes sense as far as like why stuff makes more money.
I can't believe you didn't get Lord of the Rings.
My head is in a different place with different fantasy franchise, Spencer.
That's fair. That's fair. Let's go into this fantasy franchise. We just did an episode not too long ago on Witcher Season 1. You were shocked to learn that we hadn't done the Witcher series. And I'm gonna just go off. So the first part of the show, we usually talk about our first impressions. No spoilers. If you haven't watched the Witcher series, you know, go listen to Episode 1. Go watch the first few seasons. Come back. But no spoilers for the first part of the show. And my first impression of this is it was the most anticipated TV show I had ever waited for in my entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I said this on the last podcast, but I thought Witcher Season 1 was one of, if not the best season of television of all time. And I could not wait for the next piece. You know, there was a lot of content that could be covered in Season 2 of The Witcher. If you kind of look at the source material, you know, the things that were covered were The Last Wish, Something More, The Witcher, Lesser Evil, just different things from different places. And Blood of Elves is one of people's very, very favorite Witcher books. I personally have not read it yet, but was something that I think a lot of people were hoping to see, or following the Witcher 3 game, depending on which direction that they took this, there was a lot of content that got to be covered. So I played most of Witcher 3. You happened since the last one to finish it all. Did you watch Witcher Season 2 again since finishing Witcher 3?
I have, yep. and that is not one of my first like impressions.
Well, yeah, that's okay. I just wanted to know.
That's my overall. But yes, it's coming up.
So my first impression of this was I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the season. It was going to be really, I think that it's really hard to follow something like Witcher Season 1, where they covered sources from across the Witcher spectrum. They were very true to the source material. They included new things. They crushed it in casting. Everything was just leaps and bounds better than anyone could have expected it to be. And so I always expected there to be a letdown, but I still thought it was good. Like, I still enjoyed it. I thought that there were really good moments. I thought the beginning of the season starts off really strong. And kind of my first impressions was, okay, let's keep going. And honestly, like, we'll get into it later, but, like, the finale and the last moment, as somebody that had played Witcher 3, was like, yeah, let's get into this. This is sweet. And it was such a different reaction than my wife, who was like, what? And I was like, ah, yeah, baby. So, really cool. What about you? What were your first impressions?
So, it was also one of our, you talked about it being, like, one of the most anticipated shows. Watched the first season during COVID, and we're just like, more, give us more. This was one of the first shows I looked that up when it released, right? Because to try and place the time, and I remember that it was during when we got our condo. So like, we were like, had all these things of setting up our first house, and you know, doing that around Christmas. It was a great time, and yeah, it has that kind of special place in because of when I watched it in that time.
Did this release at the same time as the Mando season? I actually don't know this off the top of my head.
Let me see when Mando released. It was December of 21.
Yeah, I can't remember if Mando released at the same time. That would impact my watching of stuff. What did you think of kind of the season, though? Like, your first impressions of the season, was it a letdown for you? Was it Ken enough? Tell me how you felt.
Hey, it's just cold. It's cold down here in the basement, so I'm wearing a snuggly sweater.
Dude, I got a fan on and a window open. I'm like, let's
crazy.
Go.
Well, sorry, what was your question? It was
was it a letdown, or was it did it live up? Like, how did you feel?
It was kind of because, and season one felt a lot more self-contained, even though, like, knowing now that it did pull from a bunch of those different places from the books, but like the feeling of season one was very like the story was very central on Ciri throughout the show. And now season two had those branches into the broader Witcher universe, which, like, as someone who watched blind, right, who had not played the game before, it was a little confusing. They weren't doing some of the time jumpy things that season one was doing.
The time jumpy things from season one, and then you're confused that they're not doing it season two.
Well, it was a different kind of, like, oh, this is kind of confusing, but it was like a different kind of confusing.
You're too funny.
Just because, like, I just I don't know these things.
Okay.
So
I love
yeah.
It. So that's gonna do it for our initial impressions. From here on out, spoilers are active. They're turned on. I want you to go first because I want you to continue your thought, because you kind of already talked about this in your overall impressions. But you really felt like season one was more self-contained. And I want to piggyback on this. Season one was interesting because it did that time jumpy thing. It could take individual parts of individual stories and then place them, right? So it's like here.
To tell a linear story.
And then another story is linear.
Yeah.
That's going against those things. And so you don't notice that it's like, you know, oh, it's been, what is, it's been like 8 months since this thing happened. But to me, it's been like you know, 1 week or whatever, but that's actually not what happened. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are your thoughts now? What are your overall impressions now?
Well, what that did, right, with expanding into all the different things with the sorceresses and bringing the politics of the kings and all these other places, and tracking all those different storylines instead of going linear, was it felt a lot more like Game of Thrones with some of the spying and the you know, assassinations and politics of the kings and the sorceresses.
Okay. I
like that was cool.
It's so funny to me. I have like such a different, I think not than you, but I feel like I have a different perspective on Witcher than other humans. Like I don't know if I'm just like always more positive than people. So, for example, this season got a 95 from critics on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. It slam dunk was loved across the board. And its audience score is only 55%. And spoilers for season 3, both of those drop to 78% and 15%. And we'll get into it when we get into season 3, but my wife and I love season 3 of Witcher. Like, absolutely love it. And I think we talked about that during our Need to Nerd episode once, how we were watching that and catching up. But my overall impression of this season is one of a creation of not an orthodox family, but it is like the creation of like a very strange family dynamic. This is a story of Yen, Geralt, and Ciri coming together. And they're coming together in a weird way. And also betrayal. Like, there's a lot going on that Yen is trying to deal with from like a personal perspective. And then there's Geralt, who is trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. And there's Ciri that's just like, I just want to just be able to protect myself. I don't want to rely on other people anymore. And I understand that maybe people didn't like it from like, I think there were a couple things that happened. And there were some people that were pretty upset. And I'm just going to address them right at the front. Yes, a girl went through puberty and looks really different than she did at the end of the last season. And it's really jarring. But guess what? It's the same actress, and they don't get to control the fact that that happened.
Right.
Like, but people were furious. Do you remember how mad people were that she looked different? They were like, you should have recast her. It's like, are you insane?
No, that's, wow, okay. Well, and here's the other thing with that, too. Like, if they were doing time jumps, right? Like, who's to say this isn't happening, like,
I don't
during
know.
That I mean, time.
Obviously, like, we can see that it's not because of the literal transition.
Right. Yeah. I know.
But like, whatever. I don't know. Just you suspend your disbelief for just a minute. It's a fantasy series, and yes, people grow up. They get older. Like, sorry, she didn't look 9 years old. She wasn't 9 years old in the other one. She just looked younger. Anyway.
Right. And is older in the game. Right when all some of the
when some of the stuff happens,
Wild Hunt things happens. Yeah.
So I want to nip that in the bud because I just so many of the complaints with Witcher, I just feel like one, it is so beloved by the people who love it. Like it very much has that Star Wars feel where like, oh, I played all of Witcher. Like there are many people that Witcher 3 is their most played video game of all time by like probably hundreds like of hours. Like there's just so much to do in mm-hmm. that game that you could replay it again and again to get different outcomes and different things. And are you playing it again?
I bought it, yeah. With the I'm gonna do the expansion packs.
Oh, did you not the game I gave you had them, didn't they?
No. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, now we're doing expansions. Yeah.
I'm great. Just saying, like, it's very beloved, and I get that. And then like people like me Like, I was, like, after watching Witcher Season 1, you know, I dived back into Witcher 3, the game. I mean, I have it twice. Like, I have it on my Switch and on my Xbox. And, you know, I went and got, I have 5 of the books or something, you know, and, I don't know. It's, I hate that we can't let things be new. And I know that we talked about this when Henry Cavill quit, and, like, I respect him. It's his art. He gets to do whatever he wants. But it's like, I don't know. Maybe, and maybe I don't know enough about the source material to be upset. But there were only a few things in this season that, like, really upset me. And my overall impression is that was really fun. And that's mm-hmm. what I look for in a fantasy series. And I don't, I think we talked about this, didn't we? With the Lord of the Rings TV show, where or was it me and Wes? I can't remember who I talked about with on the show, but, like, that's the thing that I care about. I just want it to be fun. So sorry, I, like, asked you for your overall impressions and then hijacked. What were the rest of yours?
That was about it. No, you go off, like, because I kind of went through the first part in first, so.
Should we talk about favorite characters?
Yeah.
I'll let you go first. But I want to say that this should be everybody's favorite character. No, just go ahead.
So yeah, you talked a little bit about Yennefer before. And she was one of my favorite characters this season. It was her arc is very good. My favorite storyline is with a different character, but watching Yennefer try to operate in this previous world that she knew without her magic, right? Because at first she's, like, presumed dead, and then, like, the stuff with the witch to try and get it back, like, using the alcohol in the mouth against the fire mage, you know, to give him the bird, right? Like, doing these different things to still, like, progress, you know, her goals without the use for magic, and to try and her quest to kind of try and get that back, and all those different twists and turns was really cool. And she was my favorite this season.
I love it. I think that it's such a different Yen than you get from season one. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, I mean, there's just so, just to piggyback off of you, they're, like, really cool moments. I can't remember if it's episode 2 or 3 where she's told, like, hey, we all know you're the hero, but you need to let other people be the hero for, one, because of your elf blood, and two, because of the chaos magic, and, like, for political reasons. Is that reasons. Kaseya
telling her that,
yeah,
probably?
Yeah. And it's hard. It's like, for Yen, it's like, no, I'm literally the most powerful. I did the thing, and I can't even get credit now. And, you know, it's just layers on. And this is after she had to deal with this stupid witch. I don't know. There's like a lot going on there, and I really love that part of Yen's story. My favorite character of the series this season is Ciri. I really, really like her episodes of training from the beginning. I mean, all of the type of training she does. I think that Witcher 3 has one of the best, what's the word when they're teaching you how to play the game? What is it called?
Tutorial?
Yeah, one of the best tutorials where, like, the story of the tutorial is so good. Where you get, like, Ciri as a kid. And it's so funny, too, because, like, there are things that are really important, like the color of Ciri's eyes and that. Oh, man, I don't want to spoil. If you haven't played Witcher 3, I should stop talking. There's a lot of really cool parts about the tutorial of Witcher 3. It's, like, really good. But, you know, you kind of get callbacks to that in this season, which I really like. And then, additionally, like, just her trying to learn mage stuff, there's so many really good parts. She's just a really fun character to follow this season. And I mean, obviously she's the most important character in the show overall, but yeah, I think she does really well in like the end, the from the season finale to the beginning, she grows the most. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
What's your favorite storyline?
So, yeah, I put my favorite storyline as Ciri's training to become a Witcher, and then along with that, the help that she gets from Triss and Yennefer to learn how to use her magic.
I just want to be clear, it's not my fault the cool. order of the order of the show notes. I didn't see your favorite storyline and go, I'm just going to steal this. Like, that's just who my favorite character is.
It's that good that if that was your favorite, you know, if Ciri's your favorite character because of her, in part because of her favorites, her story this season, right, and all the growth that she has, that is my favorite storyline. So. Yeah. Like, especially when, like, she is going through the physical trial of, like, the swinging pieces of, like, wood, and just, like, the other witchers are just, like, egging her on and making fun of her, and she just, like, it shows her, like, no, I'm gonna do this, and, like, she does it.
My favorite storyline is the building of that family that I talked about. And then the destruction of it in some ways at the end. There's like, you know, in season one, we get to see that like they question, are we built to be together? Are we built to, you know, what does this mean? And it is clear that like Yen is the right person for Ciri to train her. She's the right person for, I don't know, there's so many dynamics of like this little trio family thing. It's my favorite part of the series, and this season does it really well. Also, I want to apologize to everybody. I'm like recovering from illness, so if my voice starts to go away during this episode, I'm really sorry. But that's my favorite storyline. Before we get into Could Be Betters, and Love It, do you have a favorite episode this season?
It was probably episode 8. The finale of the season, titled Family. Really, like, it has all those big WTF moments and the action that you look for, and a lot of those. So yeah, it's probably the finale, season 8, episode 8.
I liked Redanian intelligence. It's there's a lot of reasons. One, you know, Dandelion comes back, Jaskier comes back, or Jaskier comes back. So that's always great. I also think that it goes to show like the hardship of people. One of the things that I really like about series like this, you know, you see the elves being rounded up, you see the hardship of different peoples, and kind of the boiling pot. And I don't remember the right phrase for this, but you know, these moments of hardness that make people who they become. And in this episode, I think that Ciri gets to learn that it's okay to not be good immediately, right? Like, you got Triss working with her, you've got and you've got Geralt working with her. I don't know, this episode does a lot, I really enjoyed it in this watch through specifically. It was my favorite one. I don't remember what my favorite one, my favorite one might have been episode 8 the first time I watched it, but for some reason this one kind of hit all the buttons for me.
They're all very good.
Any Could Be Betters?
Well, my Could Be Better is a positive Could Be Better. In this show, I want more battles, like season 1, episode 1, and the season 1, episode 5 fight with Rience. or the season 2 episode 5 fight with Rianne's. Those like high pay, like high speed action battles sequences are so cool, and like you don't get that as much with the monsters. It's kind of when Geralt or the Witcher interacts with humans, because he's just like on a different level than them, or like you can kind of, I think it's because it's like his speed is different, and they do it that way so that when the monsters, like he's fighting monsters, they're like on the same kind of tier. But like that's kind of what, how I think, like why I think the speed is that way. But I love those kind of fight sequences so much, and I wish there were more of those.
I love that. Could be better. I think that's good. It really encapsulates what we mean by could be better, right? Where it's like, I wanted more of this thing rather than tearing something down. And mine is kind of similar in a lot of ways. I thought that there was too much in this season. Yeah, like, I don't know if it took place over, like, too long of a period of time or what, but it really felt like, I mean, even just that Grain of Truth episode, episode 2, Caramore. I wanted more. I wanted more training, the Witcher training. I wanted more sorcerer training. I mean, we got a lot of it. So, like, I don't really know what my complaint is here, but it felt not rushed. It felt like the focal point was on too many people, which was really good in season 1 because there were 3 people that I cared about, right? But yeah. I almost wish that this season had just been about Ciri. Like, I wish that maybe they did a Ciri season, and then they did a Yen season, and then they did a Geralt season. Or at least that they had, like, done episodes like that, rather than have all 3 of them in every episode. I guess technically, I don't think Yen's in episode 1, but but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Where, like, you tell specific stories and go deeper into those stories, either by having their own episodes or, you know, because it's only 8, right? So that's not, like, you probably could have done 13.
Yeah, that was your complaint with season 1, right? That there wasn't enough episodes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let's go on to Love It. Patty B, why don't you set us go first?
Okay. So to start, it was cool and also weird seeing this like symbiotic relationship between the cursed Nivellyn and the, I forget what creature Varina actually is, where it like he like lets her suck his blood so that you know she doesn't kill people because he's immortal. So like that was kind of cool seeing these like the monsters relationships with each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
What was cooler was seeing Kaer Morhen. Like that, like especially after like playing the game, like going back and watching it, noticing a lot of those things, like, oh, that's like I understand Dijkstra does look like that. Like they did a really good job of like showing him and seeing all the different parts of this really big, cool castle was awesome.
Yeah, my first love it is just the character Vesemir. I thought that the actor did a really good job playing Vesemir. I thought, you know, kind of the grumpy love that Vesemir has, I thought was really well portrayed. Mm-hmm. So that's my first love it.
Yeah, that's really good. Rest in peace, Roach.
Dude, I actually forgot about this until I read your show notes. I like have this blocked out of my memory. Dude, not a love it. Why is Roach dying?
I don't love that, but like, man, I didn't think it had to be said. Like, Roach gets away in the game. I don't know about the books, but like he always is not in the fights, and it was sad like watching that again.
That's why Henry Cavill quit right there. That's the reason.
Because they killed Roach.
Just like,
it's like
I forgot this until I read your show notes. My next one is I love Dandelion's character development off screen and how you kind of get to see it. Sorry. Yaskier. Yeah. I just think that it's beautiful. I think that like also he does so good with this character. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like if there was a spin-off show, I would just want it about to like
the story, the tales of Dandelion. It'd be so
cool to just see like him. Like, you know how they did, like, Olaf's adventure thing where, like, Olaf tells stories?
Yes.
Disney? If they just did that with him, then, like, cut to cartoons of the story, like, I would love it. I think that he's so cool.
That became, and him, like, singing a song about an event that happened somewhere in the world.
Yes.
That would be so cool. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. What's your
Netflix, hire us for your stories for The Witcher.
That one's free, Netflix.
That one's free. Yeah. We'll have more. So, kind of spoilery two things with, like, seeing the Wild Hunt and now understanding those implications of, like, oh, this witch was not just a witch. She was trapped here, you know, from like the whole portaling thing, and then like, oh, she's actually part of the Wild Hunt and like what that means. And I had a very, you know, WTF reaction with Emperor Emir. Just like, wait, what? She's her dad? Like,
So I forgot. I had already started Witcher 3 and like had gotten pretty far into it when this came out. So my first time, I was like, yep, that's factual. That's her daddy.
Yes. Getting there. And you said Devonir had the same reaction.
Yeah, she reacted like you too.
Okay, cool.
He's so good in season 3. I just think he's so good. Okay. I think that I talked about a lot of my beloveds, like just the building of that family dynamic. Talked about that. I think Triss is another good one. From when she appears throughout the series, I just think that Triss is a staple that I'm really glad gets to stay on the show and like bring about things happen because Triss is there a lot of the time. And I don't know. I think that the acting, the development that she gives other characters. You need characters like that that drive your character forward in different ways. And so I really like Triss in this season. And then I think we did all hit all yours, right?
The one that we didn't hit, it was like, not a love it, but like, and I get it. And it was a really moving, crazy thing, was like the Passover style genocide after the elf baby is murdered. Like, and how she just like goes full crazy and kills everybody.
Yeah, I kind of talked like, about that in like, there's a lot in this season of like the hardening of people and like their beliefs and like what, and it's a very gray show sometimes. And I think that one of the things that really, my last love it is actually, I think it's episode 2 of this season with the witch where they're talking to her all at the same time. I thought that was really cool cinematically. So
yeah, and they're like given what they like want in life in exchange for whatever.
Yeah.
That having that big, I will say having that big bad of the witch was really helpful for the season. Like because she takes over Ciri and like needs that host after breaking free of the cottage, and everything like is connected together, right? That like, oh, the Witcher's banished the Wild Hunt and this witch to the cottage, like all these different things converging is
yeah
makes for great storytelling.
On a scale of 0 to 5, 0 being you would never recommend a human being watch this ever again, to 5 being it is absolutely perfect and there's nothing you would change about it, why would you rate it?
6.
Wow.
It's a 6. No, it's a 5. This show gets a 5.
Wow. Okay. 5 from Patty B. You think that this season is perfect?
I love this season. It was a really good show. I did not get why people didn't like it. I'm with the Rotten Tomatoes reviewers.
The critics?
The critics, yeah.
Yeah, I would give this season a solid 4. I think that there's some pacing issues. I don't know if that's the right word. That I kind of talked about them. It could be better. And but other than that, it's like really, really good. They do a really good job with like costume design in the show, and they're really good at keeping me in, like, in the moment with this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to. It is a good thing for escapism. So I give it a solid 4. If you want to tell us what you think, oh, go ahead.
So I think I would have been at the same, for what it's worth, I think I would have been at the same grade the first time I watched it. That would be like a solid 4. But now, after watching it, playing the game, coming back to it, I think that increased my, like,
I love that
score of the season. So, like, that's not great for, like, your average viewer. But that's my.
I love it. You can find me at Spencer 38, or no, he's the game right now. You can find me at Spencer 38 too. I just don't tweet from that account right now. You can also find Patty B at Patty B MTG. You can find us both at SEG Vegas coming up here in June if you want to come say hi. You can also find the show at at Need to Nerd Pod on Twitter. And we did get back into our TikTok, and we got to decide what to do because we have 2 TikTok accounts right now.
Oh, you were able to get back into the TikTok.
I was.
Okay, cool.
So we got to figure that out. But you can follow okay. the podcast at, I believe it's Need to Nerd Pod on TikTok, or Heezy Media on TikTok. And we'll figure out what we want to do moving forward with that. I'd love to continue to do the bonus content that way, talk about the shows, things like that. Give us a like and a sub, and you can save one little girl from turning into an eel this year. Thank you, everybody, so much. Leave a review wherever you're watching, and we will see you all next time with another episode of the Need to Nerd Podcast, where, Patty B, we will be talking about... You know,
I think I looked. I can't remember off the top of my head.
We don't have it.
So, okay, that's kind of where I thought that's what
we gotta decide.
Anywho. Okay, cool. So let us know if there's something you want to talk about.
It's gotta be Cobra Kai.
Yeah, we've got some seasons there to catch up on. We could maybe even do something on the Witcher 3 game. Ooh, or like Google the Witcher 3 like season. Right, like
let us know in the comments what you guys want to hear, and we'll see y'all next time with a brand new episode of the Need to Nerd Podcast.